Please remember that the Lucy Pod is not a replacement for professional medical advice. If you have questions or concerns about your own amazing brain, please speak to a medical professional. I wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I speak to you all today, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Lucy Pod. I hope that you are all well and are staying safe. I really hope that you all got a chance to listen to my latest episode with my wonderful parents. God, it was good. Unpretentious, fun, serious, and helpful. If you are a parent or a guardian of an ADHD child, then listen to it. If you are ADHD and you have parents who are struggling with that, listen to it with your parents. Just listen to it, okay? Before we get into today's episode, I want to do some updates. First one is that work and uni are keeping me busy, but they're both going well. Life is good, busy but good. Number two, I have some exciting things that are happening in my personal life. No, I'm not getting married, and no, I am not having a child. The third update is that driving is actually going okay. I have made the goal to be that I go for my driver's test either at the end of this year or mid-2025. I don't want to pressure myself and give like a date or a definite timeline. So it's either going to be at the end of this year or mid-2025. And if that falls through, I'll just do it at a time that I feel comfortable. I feel like I need to put a date on it. And yeah, that is it. So let's get into today's episode, which is about ADHD causes. And by that, I mean all the theories and findings and conversations around things that can cause ADHD. Now, I like to go on about how ADHD is a genetic neurobiological disorder that one is born with and will die with, not something that you can catch or cause through bad parenting or having too many lollies. However, there's been some recent and not so recent findings about things that have been linked to causing ADHD. And we're going to be looking at two of them today because I find them quite interesting and they have made me think about a lot. And I'm hoping that these reflections that I've been having, you know, internally can come to fruition on this episode and I can talk about it. And then y'all can talk about it in the comments and we can, you know, flap our gums and gossip, not gossip, but chat. So the first one, the big headline for this one is cannabis use in pregnancy may raise children's risk of ADHD and autism. Now, before I get into this, I just want to make it clear that any of my comments relating to cannabis or drugs in this specific conversation are not coming from a moral place. I don't view like the whole, if, you know, drugs are bad, you are a bad person if you do drugs. People who do drugs, that's a choice. And people who have an addiction, that's not where I'm coming from at all. I'm talking about it in the context of this. I'm also not suggesting that people just go and do drugs. But this is just a conversation in this specific context. That was too many cons in a sentence. Anyway, so let's get into it. So a study of more than 220,000 people found that cannabis use during pregnancy was associated with their children having roughly twice the risk of ADHD, autism, and intellectual disability. I'm going to be looking at the ADHD aspect of this because I don't know enough about autism or intellectual disabilities. And then a new study presented at the European Psychiatric Association Congress of 2024 revealed a significant association between prenatal cannabis use disorder and an increased risk of neurodevelopmental disorders in offspring, including ADHD, ASD, and intellectual disabilities. So in the European context, they're saying that it remains by far the most consumed illicit drug in Europe. Around 1.3% of adults in the European Union, so about 3.7 million people, are estimated to be daily or almost daily users of cannabis. Though males have a particularly higher prevalence with regards to cannabis. However, there's another statistic showing that women are catching up with men in drug use. I was going to make a joke and saying I respect and support women's rights and wrongs, but like I said, we're not moralizing drug use today. We're just talking about it in this context. So Because of this, there's increasing concern around the increase in cannabis use observed in younger females in the EU, especially among pregnant and breastfeeding women. Because I'm pretty sure, well, obviously, like, let's point out the obvious. It is, you are told when you are having a child to not drink, to not take certain medications, and to not take any drugs. And if you choose to breastfeed, you're also told to not take any illicit drugs, to drink alcohol, and to take certain medications. So that's that. So the sort of interesting things that I found from this study is that children born to mothers with prenatal cannabis use disorder displayed a 98% increased risk of ADHD and a 94% increased risk of ASD. The study also showed a significant, like, it identified a significant interaction effect between prenatal cannabis use disorder and maternal smoking. So children born to mothers with both prenatal cannabis use disorder and a history of smoking during pregnancy exhibited an even higher risk of developing ADHD. They also found that the, like, what was the word that they used? I should pull up the study, but they found that, what was it? Synergistic effects between prenatal cannabis use disorder and other pregnancy complications, such as low birth weight and premature birth, further increasing the risk of neurodevelopmental disorders in offspring. And these findings highlight the potential long-term consequences of cannabis use during pregnancy and sort of encourage people to avoid using cannabis during pregnancy because it, you know, leads to, you know, adverse health outcomes, which is not what we want. We want people to be having healthy, happy bubbies that are not struggling with, you know, neurodevelopmental disorders that could technically be avoided. So now you all are probably thinking, but how does this cause it? You're just saying cannabis use is bad, but like how does it affect it? And I found a very interesting study, and it was one done on female rats, I'm pretty sure, unless I'm completely reimagining it. I should really pull it up, which is what I'm going to do. I just want to find it again because it was just really quite, quite interesting. Yeah, so there was this study, and it showed that the use of cannabis in pregnant rats affected the dopamine activity. And this altered activity can lead to ADHD. I just thought that was very interesting. I'm like, pregnant, like, female rats. Like, that's just quite funny to me. And then it also, so going on to the how as well, they also found that prenatal THC exposure can alter placental and fetal DNA methylation at genes involved in neurobehavioral development. So the placental gene changes in THC exposed show similarities. So they did this one on monkeys, and it showed that the THC exposed monkeys showed similarities to human placentas from pregnancies where the newborn baby was later diagnosed with ADHD or ASD. So it actually affects the genes that are involved in neurobehavioral development. It actually impacts them. So what are my thoughts on this? So when I first saw this study, I thought, great, now people are going to tell parents of ADHD children that they should have not smoked dope when not all parents of ADHD children smoked, you know, I shouldn't say dope, smoked weed while they were pregnant. And now it's going to be seen as, like, again, this thing that's caused by someone doing the wrong thing. And that made me think that a lot of the time, if someone is dealing with something difficult and dealing with an illness, if it's as a result of something self-inflicted, and I'm using quotation marks, people feel less sorry for you. So for example, I'm going to use one. People who end up homeless because their partner passed away and their partner was in debt and they incurred the debt and then, you know, they ended up homeless, people will look at that individual and think, oh, poor thing, they are deserving of my sympathy because that situation was beyond their control. It wasn't their fault that their partner died. It wasn't their fault that their partner left them in debt, right? But if someone's homeless because they used drugs and they lost their job or were thrown out, we as a society are less forgiving. We think, well, you chose to do drugs. You didn't have to do drugs. So therefore, this situation is your fault. And the same goes for parents who maybe, you know, oh, you didn't take your prenatal vitamins. That's why your child was born prem, rather than a parent who did all the right things and then their child is born with a problem. We feel extra sorry for them. So with this study, I can see the potential for people using that argument against parents as, you know, oh, well, you shouldn't have done this and then your child wouldn't have been born like this. And then we get into the dangerous territory of people viewing ADHD as something that is solely caused by external actions and not, you know, caused, I don't want to say randomly, but like sometimes people are just born with ADHD and it's got nothing to do with the environment that they were brought up in, nor with what their parents did while they were pregnant or afterwards. It's just something that happens. So that's sort of where I was sitting at. But then I also was thinking, this is actually a very good study because now people, I don't want to phrase this in a way that sounds like if you want to avoid having an ADHD child, but now we know that given that, you know, obviously we already know that smoking and taking drugs during pregnancy is a bad thing. Now we actually have concrete examples of how that can be problematic. So now we can see how we can avoid these situations. How can we make it so that children are not being born with things that could be avoidable? So that's also where I get it. It's also a public health concern. So I'm coming at it from both sides. On the one hand, it's dangerous because people will misinterpret this very important study. But on the other hand, it's a very important study that raises really important questions about people's public health and, you know, what people choose to do with their bodies when they're having a child. So it is something to think about. It's very complicated. It's very nuanced. There will be studies that will continue. I'd like to see maybe long-term ones, but this one just recently came out and I thought it would be worthwhile to talk about. So in the comments, or even in DMs, I would like you guys to tell me, do you take drugs? Did your parents take drugs while they were pregnant with you? How do you feel about drugs? And how do you feel about this study? And do you think it has negative implications for the ADHD community? So I would love to hear from you on that. Now, the next one is a funny one because all of the crunchy essential oil MLM loving mums go on and on about this and claim that once their kids stopped having this certain thing that I'm going to talk about, their ADHD and autism magically disappeared. This one is really infamous in keto families, I found. They're like, once we eliminated this thing, our household became harmonious. And after I gave my child clove oil through their, you know, bloodstream, they were magically well-behaved. And the thing that I'm talking about is Red 40 or Red 40, Red Dye 40, which is, it's so interesting because for the longest time, I really rolled my eyes because I would just see like random Instagram posts of people saying that, oh, this chemical food dye caused ADHD. And obviously, like, that's such an unfounded claim. So I rolled my eyes. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to look this up and see where this is coming from. Is there any truth to it? Is there any sort of why? Where did this come from? Where did this random thing come from? So Red Dye 40 is a synthetic food dye, and it's common in, like, dairy products, sweets, and beverages. For most people, it's safe to consume and don't really pose any health risks. Some people might be allergic, but it's pretty safe. It's one of the 9 certified color additives with the FDA, and they approve it. And the European Union also approves its use. I'm not sure about Australia, and I should have checked that. I will put it in the show notes. So it's kind of like a, it's a color additive. It's a food color additive, right? And when I saw this, I thought, how can a food color additive do anything to you or your brain when it comes to ADHD? Like cannabis, I get it, because cannabis affects, you know, people all the time. So it can definitely affect, you know, a baby in utero. But how in God's name can something as like innocuous and something we consume a lot cause ADHD? Well, studies show that Red 40 and other dyes might worsen the symptoms of ADHD in some, but more research is needed, of course. So all those claims of Red 40 causes ADHD are still unfounded, but they do come from somewhere. So researchers have extensively looked at the connection between diet and ADHD, which there are quite a few links between gut health and brain health, which is a separate conversation. So there's that. But data suggests that food dyes increase ADHD symptoms, but they only seem to do so by a small amount. However, some children may be more sensitive to their effects than others. Which is interesting because I was never a child who got the sugar rush. Like I wasn't a child that consumed much sugar or many sweets. And when I did, it did not affect me. I was not sensitive to sugar. But if you gave me soy sauce, when we'd be at a Chinese restaurant, and I remember it was a specific one in Preston, and every time I would obviously have soy sauce with my food, I would be off the planet. I was not allowed to have that much soy sauce when I was younger because it would send me off the walls. I don't know if that was just like a coincidental thing, and once we made the link, I started to play on it, but I was off the planet. I don't know what product would make me do that, but clearly I was sensitive to it. There was something in that that made me crazy, but then when it came to other like artificial colorings or flavors, not sensitive at all. So there's been research done in both animals and humans that shows that, you know, synthetic color additives like Red Dye 40 have links to ADHD symptoms and other behavioral conditions. But then in 2011, the FDA said that synthetic color additives had no adverse effects. But of course, there's always a back and forth because then you have researchers saying, actually, children who are sensitive to color additives might be more at risk. So then there was a 2021 report done from the state of California, and it showed that children who consume synthetic food dyes, including Red Dye 40, can experience hyperactivity and other neurodevelopmental issues. And the reason it does this, they think that it's caused by this, is because they believe that food dyes cause a depletion of minerals that play a role in growth and development, including zinc and iron, therefore leading to chemical damages in the brain. And then hypersensitivity, which can cause allergic reactions such as inflammation. So that's their argument. Now, how do I feel about it? This one I don't feel too strongly about because it's still very new. Nothing is very conclusive. We've still got a lot of back and forth. But again, it concerns me, this one, more than the cannabis one, because there's a big movement. Well, I wouldn't say movement. There's a lot of people that when you tell them your child is ADHD or you say you are ADHD, they either suggest, you know, going for a walk or reviewing your diet. And some of these people are well-meaning because, like I said before, there is a link between, you know, brain and gut health. But telling a parent that their kid is ADHD because maybe they have chocolates or pink lemonade is not helpful. It further creates this narrative that ADHD is the parent's fault. It's just down to good parenting, being a good person. And by being a good person, you are someone who eats well, who never slips up, who exercises, who does all these things right. And then ADHD is because you have not done the right thing. It's because you are not good enough. And it adds extra stresses to parents because then parents start to focus on things that do not matter, rather than making sure that their child gets accommodations at school, that they're seeking therapy, they then start to go down the rabbit hole of, okay, my kid's ADHD, they've just been diagnosed, let's cut all of this out in their diet, let's switch and swap and see when, you know what, the best thing that you can do for your ADHD child is seek professional advice, not advice from the internet, or from some random in the street. A doctor will advise you. And sometimes doctors will advise cutting out certain products, modifying your diet. You know, doctors will do that. Professionals will do that. But doing that on your own is just not helpful and it's distracting. And I get it, because if you're a parent, you've just, your kid's just been diagnosed with ADHD, it's a massive shock. So you're looking at everything you can do to fix it. It's like when people are diagnosed with a terminal illness or a chronic illness, they will, out of desperation, I don't blame them, they will go to, you know, the craziest, quackiest things. And a lot of people prey on that. You get people saying, I cured my bowel cancer with these three steps. And it's like, you know what? No. You know how you help people with cancer? You advise them to go to an oncologist and you stop selling them bullcrap ideas that could kill them and selling them false hope. And I feel the same way when it comes to the red dye 40. There's whole Instagram pages of parents being like, I don't feed my child processed disgusting food because my children are amazing and they have no behavioral issues because of this. Here's my recipe on how to make non-pink lemonade that will not kill your child's brain cells. And you get all these really desperate parents in the comments being like, oh my God, I have to make this a recipe because my kid's crazy. Hopefully they're better after this. And you just guilt them. And that doesn't help. If ADHD could be cured or properly managed with just, you know, fixing your diet or eliminating red dye 40, I wouldn't have the Lucy Pod. We wouldn't be talking about this. It'd be a, you know, case closed. ADHD is far more complex. ADHD is not just about fixing this, fixing that. It's also got to do with medication, therapy, what type of person you are, your predicament, your access. There's so much that goes into managing ADHD or preventing that symptoms get worse. I would say preventing ADHD, you can't. So to just reduce it to diet is really ridiculous. Now, when it comes to the cannabis thing, I think if you're being told, hey, your kid's going to have a lot of developmental issues that you could possibly avoid by not doing this, then you probably shouldn't do it. But something as fickle and sort of still emerging as food dye, I think we just need to, I'm not a doctor, obviously, I think we just need to watch the space. I hope that this episode doesn't make people go, but maybe I should eliminate red dye 40 and start looking at it. You know, that's not going to make your kid less ADHD. If your kid was born ADHD, which they usually are, and your child was told, you know, you were told by a doctor that, you know, your kid's ADHD or that you're ADHD, you stopping red dye 40 is not going to reverse the impacts. The only person who should tell you to, stop using certain things is your doctor. Don't listen to random things online. Even studies. I mean, even, you know, the cannabis one, even though it's, you know, a reputable peer-reviewed, talk to your doctor, and I'm pretty sure your doctor will tell you to not, you know, smoke cannabis while you're pregnant, but it's really a conversation to be had with a medical professional. So I'm finding that what these studies have taught me is that it's so important for people to do their research, to do their due diligence, and to, when they are unsure, to ask a professional. There's nothing wrong with that. There's also nothing wrong with, you know, let's say going on the ADHD Foundation page, one of their support groups, and asking, hey, does anyone have any good studies or recommendation of books or doctors that I can see? There's nothing wrong with that, with getting your information like that. What's wrong is when you, you know, go down a rabbit hole and it stresses you out. So I think that's what these studies have taught me. And they've also taught me that, you know, the causes of ADHD, the idea of neurodevelopmental disorders are so complex and are so layered, and maybe in future, when I talk about ADHD being purely genetic, maybe I can also mention that, you know, there are studies showing that cannabis use can also impact ADHD. And this doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, ADHD is a legitimate, you know, neurodevelopmental condition that's, you know, you're born with. You can also have it caused by certain behaviours. So that is that. That is my episode on these two very interesting findings, or I should say, studies that have been released. All of these studies and all this info will be in the show notes or in the description. I would really, really love to hear your views. All are welcome as long as they are civil and sensible. Chat away, let's talk about it, and I will see you in my next episode, which is going to be very exciting. It's going to be a little different. But before I farewell you, which I already have, but before I go, do not forget to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of it at The Lucy Pod. Don't forget to listen to me, rate me, stream me on all of your favorite streaming platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the lot, and stay safe. Bye!